Today we're doing something a little bit different. We're breaking from our series Personal to celebrate Father's Day, because over the last 2 years I've just decided that this should be a much more important holiday. Took some of you a little while. For those of you who still don't know why that's funny, I became a father about a year and a half ago, so this is my second Father's Day here today, and I mean, becoming a father is an amazing thing, and as we take this day to reflect on what that means and everything that goes along with that, I mean, it blows you away that you have the opportunity to be a part of this little life, and to be a part of shaping the future of this person and building into them. And I'm telling you, there's hardly a day that goes by that I'm not completely amazed at this idea of being a father. And yet, at the very same time, side by side with that, being a father is terrifying. Because everything that goes along with shaping that little life and being a part of that little life that makes it amazing is also scary. And you want so much as a father for your children. You want them to experience everything in life. You want them to experience the fullness of what's in front of them. And you want them to be able to soak everything that they can out of life. You want to make sure that you're guiding them and directing them in the way that they should go. And when it comes to spiritual things, it becomes even scarier because you want them so much to know how much God loves them. You want so badly for them to know that the God who created them loves them and cares for them. And so as a family, there's all sorts of things that we do. And Anna goes through worship songs with Caden like almost every single morning. And we have a little Bible that we walk through with my son Caden every night before he goes to bed. And there's all sorts of ways that we're trying to lead and to guide him spiritually. And to be honest with you, when I thought about becoming a father, the thing that scared me the most was that idea that there was a possibility that one day my son would actually say no to God. That one day he would walk away from this God who loves him and cares for him. And as I've went through this first year and a half of being a father, it's been amazing, but at the same time, it's terrifying. And the truth is, I don't think that you necessarily have to be a father to relate to what I'm saying. For those of you who are fathers, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. But you don't have to be a father to understand that feeling. That feeling of caring for someone and loving someone and wanting so much for them to know who God is. Wanting so much for them to be able to experience God and to step into that love that God has for them. And to be able to somehow communicate to them how great God is. You see, I don't think you have to be a father to know that. I think a lot of us know exactly how that feels. Many of you right now in your mind have a picture of someone that you care about deeply. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's a friend. But someone that you care about that you want so much for them to know who God is. And so we do things to be able to try to somehow introduce God to those around us, to somehow communicate just how great he is, how wonderful he is, how much he loves them. And so just like Anna and I with Caden, as we're reading those Bible stories, we try to be able to share with those around us how important God is. And the truth is, today as we go into Father's Day, I mean, I've been a father for a year and a half, so for me to stand up here and talk to you about fatherhood from my vast experience would be kind of a waste of time, right? Yes. The answer to that is yes. But I'll tell you something. I've been a son now for about 30 years to an incredible father. And so today as we walk through this Father's Day, I don't want to talk to you from the perspective of a father. I want to actually talk to you from the perspective of a son. And as I went to college, there was something interesting that happened as I began to relate to those around me. And I went to a seminary and a Bible college in Pennsylvania. And so as I went to school there, I began to interact with those around me about this idea of God, and I began to talk to them about their journey. And one of the things that surprised me is that over and over again, I kept coming in contact with people who had gone through these incredible stages in their life where they didn't believe that God existed, where they really struggled with whether or not God was real. And I remember as I went to college and I began to have these conversations with people, it began to really scare me. Because in my life, I had never really struggled with the idea that God was real. And I kept having these conversations, and they're like, yeah, everybody struggles with this. Everybody goes through this. And I was like, man. And it scared me, because I was like, man, maybe this is coming up. Maybe this is in the future for me. Maybe this is something that I'm about to go through. And I began to look at my life, and I began to wonder, like, man, what's going on? Why haven't I struggled with this yet? And don't get me wrong. I mean, there were times in my life where I didn't want anything to do with God. There were times in my life where I didn't want anything to do with following Him and what His Word said. And there were times in my life where I wanted to get as far away from Him as possible. There were times in my life where I didn't trust Him. There were times in my life where I didn't know if God was actually good. But there was no point in my life at which I actually questioned whether or not God was real. And as I look back, I kept wondering, why? And I kept wondering, is this coming? As I began to dive into it and began to really ask myself some hard questions, I began to realize that it was actually because of my father that I was where I was. It was because of the opportunities that he had seized as I was growing up that brought me to where I was. And the truth is, if you've ever experienced this journey of wanting someone so much to know who God is, someone that you care about, someone that you would give your life for, the truth is, the longer you're on this journey, the more you're going to realize that what you say is just never going to be enough. And we can sit down with Caden and we can teach him and we can read that Bible together, but if you've ever been in that situation, you realize that what you say just doesn't, so many times it just seems to fall short. And as I look back on the life that I'd lived and the life that I experienced with my father, I realized it wasn't what my father taught me that brought me to where I was. It wasn't what my father had told me. It was the opportunities that he sees along the way. And today what I want to do is I want to walk you through three of those opportunities, three things that are in your life, three opportunities that are in every single one of our lives that you have to be able to communicate how great God is, how much God loves you to those around you. And so if any of you have anyone in your life that you care about, that you want desperately for them to experience God, I want you to write down these three things. And I want you to journey with me. Inside your program today, there are notes. And just pull that out. And there's a pen there for you to be able to jot these things down. And as I grew up, as I look back and I looked at, okay, what brought me to this point? Why haven't I struggled with this? I began to see that my father had taken the opportunities that we see so many of the godly fathers in this book taking. And it actually brought me to the point where there was really no question. And these are three opportunities that as you begin to communicate as fathers to your children, or as you begin to communicate as mothers to your children, as you begin to communicate as friends, as you begin to communicate as family members, these three things will move past what you say And I'm telling you, they will drastically change the lives of the people that you love. And the first is priority. Because you see, priority is where you're going to communicate value. Jesus Christ talks about this in Matthew chapter 13. Go ahead and bring that up here. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. You see, the greatness of God and the majesty of God, how important God is, it's not going to be communicated through what we sing. We can get up here and we can have the greatest band and we can have the greatest songs and we can sing over and over again about how great God is, how wonderful God is. As fathers, we can go back into our homes and we can sit down with our children every single night and we can read to them stories of how great God is and we can read to them stories of how powerful God is, how important He is. And we can sing about it and we can talk about it, but the greatness of God will never be communicated through what we say or through what we sing. In your friend's life, your friend is not going to know how great God is based on what you tell them. He's not going to know how important God is based on what you say. The greatness of God will never be communicated through what we sing or through what we say. It will only be communicated in what we're willing to sacrifice to experience Him. I want you to write that down. The greatness of God will only be communicated through what we're willing to sacrifice to experience Him. And so when we live our lives and we say, man, God is great, God is wonderful, God is awesome, God is so valuable, and then we say, well, you know, I know that I can experience God on Sunday, but I'd really like to be on the golf course. You see, the truth is, as fathers, if we want to communicate the greatness of God to our children, it's not going to be communicated through what we say. And the truth is, we shouldn't be surprised if our children don't understand how great God is when we would rather read the newspaper in the morning than read God's Word. And the interesting thing about this is that sometimes you're going to have to choose God over those you love in order to communicate to them how great He is. The tricky part about that is that it doesn't mean that you sacrifice those you love. It means you sacrifice yourself. In other words, when your son comes to you and says, listen, I'd really like to be a part of this baseball league, and they play on Sundays, and you say, listen, we're going to make it a priority to experience God and to be a part of this church and to experience Him with others on Sunday mornings, we're going to make that a priority. You're communicating something about God's value, but when He comes to you the next week and says, listen, I'd like to be a part of this baseball league, and it plays on Saturday, and you say, listen, we can't do that because Dad plays golf on Saturday, you're not communicating to them the greatness of God. You're communicating to them how unimportant they are. And so don't get me wrong on this. It doesn't mean that you sacrifice those around you. It means you sacrifice for them, but you also make sure that you know and they know how much of a priority He is. And when you look at those you love and you look at the relationships that you have with those around you, the number one thing that's going to communicate to them how great God is based on what you're willing to give up to experience Him. What priority does he take in your life? And don't think for one second, especially for those of you who are fathers, that your children don't know. And as I grew up, I watched my dad make some decisions that sometimes I hated. That sometimes I couldn't stand, that sometimes made me furious. But I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that when it came to my father, he would give up anything to experience God. At the same time, I knew that he'd give up anything for me. And both are essential. And so when your friend calls you and says, listen, can we get together on Wednesday night? And you say, listen, I'd love to be able to get together with you, but dinner group's on Wednesday night, and that's a priority to me. I need to experience God in my dinner group. That's a chance. That's an opportunity for you to communicate priority. But you'd better make sure that when they call you and ask you to, on Thursday night to hang out, you don't say, no, I've got to watch The Bachelorette. You sacrifice The Bachelorette for your friend. You sacrifice. To show priority on Wednesday night. When it comes to this opportunity to be able to show those around us who God is and the greatness of God, it begins with priority. It continues with faith. And faith is where we communicate reality. Faith is where we communicate God's existence. There's an incredible example of this in the Bible. It's found in the story of Abraham. Joey, go ahead and bring up this verse. This is the beginning of the story of Abraham. And if you read through God's word, the nation of Israel begins with one father. His name's Abraham. And God comes to Abraham and he says all these amazing things to Abraham. He says, listen, I'm gonna do this for you. I'm gonna take you, I'm gonna give you this land. You're gonna have this entire nation that you're the father of. I've got these incredible promises for you. And he comes to him and he says, and this is what he says in Genesis 12, the beginning of his story. He says, the Lord has said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you. I want you to leave everything that you know. I want you to leave everything that you've experienced. I want you to leave everything that makes you comfortable. And I want you to go to this land that I've shown you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. And as the story continues, it's amazing because, for most of us, the idea of leaving everything that we've known, everything that we've experienced, everything that makes us comfortable, for most of us in our lives, the truth is, we'd probably say no. But as the story unfolds, we see Abraham leave everything that he has, and God takes him to this land, and he begins to multiply him, and he blesses him, and Abraham becomes one of the most powerful people in the entire land of Canaan. And I don't tell you that to talk about how great Abraham is. I tell you that because I guarantee you there was not one second in Abraham's son's, Isaac's, life that he questioned whether or not God was real. You know why? Because he saw God work. You see, faith is the opportunity to be able to show reality. Faith is the opportunity to be able to communicate that God is actually real. And as I looked back on my childhood and I look back on the opportunities that my father had seized, I realize that this was one of those opportunities. And growing up, my dad involved me in almost every decision that was made as a family. He didn't involve me so that he would listen to my input. He didn't really care about my input. He involved me so that he would see the decision-making process, and I'd begin to learn the decision-making process for myself. And sometimes that meant that I got all sorts of information that really, as a kid, you don't necessarily want to know. And I can remember times growing up where my dad would talk to myself and my sister and my mom, and he'd be like, listen, we've only got 38 cents left in the bank account, and we're doing this, and we're following God here, and this is what we believe God wants us to do. And I saw God come through for my family over and over and over again. And as I got there to college and I talked and I had these conversations with guys who were having questions about whether or not God existed, I looked back at my childhood and I said, there's no way I can question whether or not God exists. I might question whether or not God is good. I might question whether or not God can be trusted. But there's no way. Because I'd seen him. And as fathers, if we're going to begin to lead our children down a path where they know and love and experience God, it's going to begin with them seeing God in our lives. Because we take steps of faith. Because we take steps like Abraham, where the only way that this is going to work out is if God works, if God shows up. And as you're interacting with those that you love, as you're interacting with those that you care about, that you want so much, for them to experience God, and God steps into your life and says, listen, I want you to do something crazy. That's an opportunity. God's giving you an opportunity to be able to show those around you that he's real. And it's through your faith that they're going to begin to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real. And if you don't do that, if we don't do that, then we begin to live the lives of the Pharisees. And as Jesus came and as he walked this planet and as he interacted with the religious leaders of those around him, there were so many religious leaders around him who were talking and talking and talking, but not actually doing and not actually believing and not actually stepping out in faith. And they were communicating to those around them. They're saying, listen, you should believe in God. You should believe in God. This is who he is. This is what he's about. You should believe in God. You should trust God. You should follow God, but they weren't taking steps of faith. They weren't obeying God. They weren't stepping out into these uncertain situations. And at one point, Jesus actually turns to them and he says this to them. Listen to this verse. It says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. You know what he's talking about when he says that? He's talking about those times when we begin to try to teach people who God is without teaching them to step out in faith and experience him. And the most dangerous thing that we can do as parents, the most dangerous thing that we can do as we interact with those that we love and that we care about is that we tell them how great God is and we don't follow him. The most dangerous thing in Caden's life is if Caden grows up and he hears me talking about how great God is, how wonderful God is, how much God can be trusted, and then he sees me over and over again saying no to God. Because if I should ever convince him that God is real and lead him down a path where he believes in his mind that God is real, but he doesn't actually follow God, he is doomed. And as we look at our lives, and sometimes God will step into your life and he'll say, listen, I want you to do something crazy. I think of Charlie. Charlie just celebrated his one-year anniversary with us a couple weeks ago, and he's been doing amazing things here at our church. And I think back to the conversations that Charlie had when we first started down this journey. Charlie was living in Kentucky, and he had a much stronger accent than he does right now. And we were looking for a worship leader and someone to bring our band along and to take us where we thought God wanted to take us. And we began to have a conversation, and we're talking about this idea of him moving up here from Kentucky. And I think he was actually making more money in Kentucky than he was going to be making when he lived here in Hoboken. And you guys know how much it costs to live here in Hoboken. And we're having this conversation, and it's one of these times where God stepped into Charlie's life and said, Charlie, I want you to do something crazy. And over again, God steps into our lives and he says, I want you to do something crazy. And we say, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why you want me to do this. What are you trying to do? He's giving you an opportunity to show those around you who he is. He's giving you an opportunity to show those around you that he's real. And as we've watched, and those who know Charlie, you know this, as you've watched God provide for Charlie, as you've watched God pour into Charlie's life, there's no question whether God's real. But we don't see that and we don't experience that unless he takes a step of faith. And as you're looking at those that you care about, as you're looking at those that you want so much to love and to know God, when God throws those opportunities into your life, don't look at it and say, I don't understand. Seize the opportunity. It's the greatest chance you have to be able to show them how great he is, how real he is. And as Abraham took this step and as he made this journey, he began to lay a foundation for his family and for his son that was completely undeniable. And if we're going to begin to communicate to those around us how great God is, who God is, how much he loves them, it's going to begin through priority. It's going to begin by showing them what we're willing to sacrifice to experience him. It's going to continue in our faith and showing them just how real he is and allowing them to see what God's doing in our life. And just as an aside in this, believe me, there's a lot to be said about keeping what God's doing in your life to yourself. And there's a lot to be said about pride and not bragging and not constantly bringing up to people, well, you know, this is what I'm doing right now and this is what's happening in my life right now. But as an aside to this, I want to talk specifically to those of you that God is working in your life right now. Because there are a lot of you right now in this room that God is doing amazing things in your life. I mean amazing things. And you don't want to talk about it. And you don't want to share it with those around you because you don't want to be proud. And I understand that. And that's valuable. And you need to keep that in check. But I also want to tell you this. God didn't change your life just for you. God didn't bring Abraham out of where he was and bring him into this promised land just for him. And when you walk into those dinner groups, you need to be telling your story. You need to be sharing this with those that you love. It's your greatest opportunity for them to see that God's real. It begins with priority. It continues with faith. And then the last one, and this is probably the hardest one, especially for us fathers. It's a little bit easier for mothers, depending on who you are, is repentance. And repentance is where you gain their trust. And it's really pretty simple. If you're communicating to someone how great God is, if I'm communicating to Caden how great God is and how wonderful God is, and look at what God's done in our lives, look at how God's provided for us, if I'm not willing to admit when I'm wrong, Caden will not trust me. If I'm not willing to come before him and say, listen, Caden, I screwed up here, he's not going to trust me. If I'm not willing to come before him and say, listen, I really made a mistake here and I need to make this right, I need to change this, I need to figure out how this is going to be different in the future, he will not trust me. And in the relationship that you have with those around you that you love, if you're not willing, when you've made mistakes, when you screwed up, when you've hurt them, if you're not willing to step in and say, listen, I blew it, they're not going to trust you. And there's no way that we can expect them to listen to us if we're not willing to admit when we're wrong. Repentance is a huge theme throughout the entire Bible. Listen to this verse. It says, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. As you look back at David and the incredible father that he was and the life that he lived, you see this idea of repentance. Being willing and able to admit that I'm wrong. And don't get me wrong here. It's important that you understand the difference between repentance and confession. You see, there's a huge difference between repentance and confession, and the Bible talks about both of these. Confession is when I admit that I made a mistake. Right? Confession is when I come in and say, listen, Caden, I blew it today. You know, I said that I was going to be there, and I wasn't there. That's confession. Repentance is when I come in and say, listen, I said that I was going to be there and I wasn't there, and this is what I'm going to do to fix it. This is what I'm going to do to make sure that next time it doesn't happen again. See, some of us are really good at confession. We're really good at having that conversation with those we love over and over and over again where we say, listen, I made a mistake. But this isn't just about confession. This is about repentance, about coming in and saying, listen, I made a mistake, and this is how I'm going to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Repentance is changing our direction. And as we're looking to impact those that we love as fathers, as we're looking to impact the lives of our children, we have to be willing to say, listen, I blew it. I messed up. And this is what I'm going to do to change it. And the truth is, sometimes we make those mistakes and we look at those we love and we look at our children, we think, man, it'd just be better if they didn't know. Maybe I'll just sweep this one under the rug And I can remember times that I had no idea what was going on in the life of my dad. And my dad would come in and say, listen, I need to tell you something. I made this mistake, and this is how I'm going to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I'd be like, I don't care. I'm like 9 years old. I could care less, right? And the truth is, he probably could have just went on and never, ever told me. But he saw it as an opportunity. An opportunity to be able to communicate to me that, listen, this wasn't about being right. This was about finding what was true. This was about being honest. And when you make those mistakes, it's your chance. It's your opportunity to be able to build that trust. And so no matter who you are today, whether you're a father, whether you're a friend, whether you're a family member, as you look at communicating the greatness of God, you want them to know how great God is, how much God loves them. It's not going to be what we say. It's not going to be what we sing. Where's the priority? What are you willing to give up to experience Him? Where's the faith? What are they seeing God do in you? Where are they seeing God act in you? And where's the repentance? Are you willing to say, I was wrong? As I got to college and I looked back and I asked myself this question, why, I realized that over and over and over again in my life, my dad had seized those three opportunities. And so as I stood there and had that conversation with my friend, there was no question whether or not God was real. It was just a question of whether or not I'd follow. And you have those opportunities all the time. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that over and over again in our life, you're giving us opportunities to be able to communicate beyond what we say, beyond what we teach, to be able to communicate how great you are. And Father, when we look at this incredible responsibility that you've given us to communicate you to those around us, Father, we want to seize those opportunities. We want them to know just how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen.